Hello and welcome to the Politically Speaking Podcast. I am Chris McDaniel, political reporter for St. Louis Public Radio and BeyondNovember.org. I'm joined by...
And I am Jason Rosenbaum of the St. Louis Beacon.
The zany Jason Rosenbaum. And this is Joe Manis with the St. Louis Beacon.
We haven't used that word in a while because yeah. Nude has been off the radar.
Yeah, well, Nude's done a little bit with Aiken. He's released... You know, a couple of videos, I think, that I've seen on the internet. But there's, speaking of Aiken, our first segment.
And this was borderline this week. It's not like there wasn't any events in Aiken McCaskill, but it seemed like, it's the run-up to today, which is the debate.
For those who are listening, tonight is the big showdown between Todd Aiken and Claire McCaskill here in St. Louis. It's going to be televised statewide on KSDK, but other outlets are friendly.
Yes. St. Louis Public Radio will also be airing it on 90.7, so you can listen to that between 7 and 8. And I'm actually a panelist for it, so I'll be asking a couple of questions. So that's something to look forward to tonight.
Yeah, and Chris is probably keeping it a secret on what he's going to ask.
Well, I want to ask him, who's your favorite Cardinals player? Is it Yadier Molina?
Which
or is it Jason Mott? I need to know.
Or what's your opinion on CM Punk's record-holding reign as WWE champion?
Well, and see, the problem they have is that this will be competing with
big game. No, that will definitely bring ratings down, I'm sure.
Well, so here's what's happened this week. Earlier in the week on Monday, Aiken was here with Janet Huckabee, who is the wife of former Arkansas governor, now radio commentator Mike Huckabee.
Yeah.
And they had
about
150 people, mainly women, out in West County. And this luncheon was a pro-Aiken luncheon, but it quickly turned into an anti-abortion luncheon. It mainly focused on reproductive rights and people who agree with him as far as opposing what they see as dangerous practices. And so Janet Huckabee was there to show her support for Aiken. She was then traveling around the state. Aiken has been elsewhere in the state with the Duggar family. Yeah. And
a favorite of the Today Show, which is really on that main Zumba prostitution case, by the way.
I have to admit, I had no idea who this family was until I got a press release that they were campaigning with Todd Aiken.
You've never heard of the Duggar family? Do you not watch cable television? My wife watches that all the time with one of her friends. It's like watching a train wreck, but it is a fascinating exercise in humanity.
Yeah, and meanwhile, McCaskill was working as a waitress briefly
at Flat Branch.
Yeah,
in Columbia, Jason's old stomping grounds.
Yes, and I think your old stomping grounds.
They have
too.
A great oil change stout at Flat Branch.
Oh, it's great. I think my mom is going there when she goes for her college reunion. I'm just making this the personal Jason podcast today.
And well, she's also been running a lot of TV ads. She's spending about $1 million a week. I've seen a little bit
and at
of
Cardinals
Aiken.
Games too.
Yes,
which is,
yeah,
which is
very expensive.
Yes. Yes.
Now Aiken is running ads, but not that many.
Mm-hmm.
And McCaskill is also being helped in that the Democratic National Senatorial Committee and I look like maybe even a DNC ad was in this week. She's getting a lot of outside help. So far, he isn't. Now, here's the science. She and he have both been circulating poll numbers that say that they show each of the other ahead. And without getting into the weeds on this, what I did want to mention to the listeners is that Aiken is circulating an outside poll that shows him with a few points ahead. She's circulating internal polling, which shows her with a decent amount lead. There is a reason for both of these. He is trying to send a message to outside Republicans to start running ads, because even though the Rand Paul's PAC says they're going to be running ads, and I haven't seen any yet. I've been checking the payment sites, and I haven't seen any placed any ad buys yet, at least not in the St. Louis area. Maybe outstate, but not here.
I've seen the video on the internet, but I haven't seen it on TV yet.
So, Joe, we've talked about this offline before, but how useful are these internal polls? It seems to me they're a bit self-serving. They wouldn't be releasing something that was bad or anything. Exactly.
Well, she is trying to send a message to the same Republicans. Aiken is trying with his with these numbers, which came from an outside group that's sympathetic to Republicans. He's trying to send a message to Republicans that, look, I can win this. Just put up some ads for me. Because, yeah. again, if they donate directly to him, they can only do a certain amount. But they could put up independent ads. So he's trying to send a message that this is winnable. Spend money on me. She's sending out her internals that show her with a decent lead to this, basically sending a message to the same people. Don't waste your money. Stay out. This is all about psychological, sending messages to these Republican groups. They both of them are directing them at the same audience.
You know, and on our Beyond November site, I think either Jeffro or John Hancock made this point that if, you know, we could talk about money, we could talk about polling now. But if Romney ends up winning the state by 9 to 12 percentage points, which is, I think, is kind of like a – I'm trying to think of the word – is an optimistic assessment because Missouri typically doesn't swing that decisively toward it. It seems like that would be difficult for McCaskill to be able to get people to vote for Romney and her. Now, maybe they'll vote for her and Jonathan Dine, or vote for Romney and Jonathan Dine because they're sick of Aiken.
Which is bringing up Jonathan Dine is a Libertarian candidate who also was running for the U.S. Senate,
right.
who has been excluded from tonight's debate. But some of the polling that I've seen shows him close to 10%. And
Public policy polling from October 3rd, early October, had him at 9%, which is really phenomenal for a third-party candidate.
And usually that means that those are some people who are Republicans who don't want to vote for Aiken but don't want to vote for McCaskill either.
Yeah.
If he gets like around 9, 10, or a little more, he could very well determine who wins. Because Hancock and Roe and others who are Republican consultants, for those who don't know who they are.
And neither of them were on Aiken's side during the primary, should be pointed out.
Correct. But what they're saying is a legitimate point is that if Romney carries the state by a big amount, it will make it more difficult for her. But again, if those people end up voting for Dine or just don't vote because, as I've mentioned a million times, we no longer have straight ticket voting in this state because Republicans got rid of it in 2006. So you can't just press a button at the top and where it's an automatic vote straight down for everybody in the party. So there may be some people who just vote for Romney and then skip. I mean, I'm not saying they will, but I've heard that there may be some
it
doing
definitely
that.
Happen.
I know by the time this podcast comes up on John Combis tomorrow that, you know, the debate will already be over. And, you know, what we're saying now at, 11:30 will kind of be kind of after the fact. But it does seem to me that excluding Jonathan Dine, while it might have been pressure by Aiken or whatever, it seemed to me just from the marketing, they wanted this to be a one-on-one matchup with Aiken and McCaskill, which, you know, for marketing purposes is fine. But when somebody like a third party is going to have such an impact on the race as Dine could, I think you got to question the wisdom of that move.
So, the Beacon, we've had a story on Dine. We've had a couple. I had one on Monday, and then Jason did one earlier. And I
did a story yesterday. He was also on St. Louis on the Air. Then on Friday, Jonathan Dine will actually be doing an interview with St. Louis Public Radio where he will answer the same exact questions, and we'll be putting that up online. So we'll have a link to that on Beyond November.
And just before we jump in, you know, I actually did kind of an informal Twitter question yesterday, and I think it was kind of split down the middle from, you know, Libertarian followers said yes, and Aiken supporters were like, no, this is kind of useless. And I'm not saying that his views or, you know, his message is whatever.
But people have a right to hear it.
But when a third party is getting that much in Missouri, you've got to take that into consideration as a factor. So anyways.
I agree. But we also have some ads that have been making their way around.
And that are not Aiken and McCaskill ads. There are other people running for
office.
Yeah, there
are other races besides Aiken and McCaskill that are fascinating. Though I have to say my view of this is myopic. Because as I said yesterday on Twitter, I've been trapped in a political cocoon for the last few days getting together these overviews for these down-ballot races. And some of them ads are coming out hot and heavy right now.
So. Well, I think we have to start off by talking about Susan Monty's ad. She's running for lieutenant governor. She's
Democrat.
Running yes, the Democrat running for lieutenant governor. She's running against Peter Kinder.
Mm-hmm. Republican incumbent seeking a third term.
Yes. And the ad, if you haven't seen it, maybe you're familiar with Jib Jab. Jib Jab is sort of like this animated feature where you take somebody's face and the heads bob around and their mouths open and close. And she's using this animated feature to draw attention to some
definitely
scandals.
Jab. Jab.
Oh,
at Kinder.
Jab at Kinder for some of the scandals that he's had, particularly one where in the ad he's animated sliding down a stripper pole.
Right. And these were all charges that Brad Lager threw at him in the primary, but he used a much less humorous tone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the question that I've brought up, because obviously these things were going to get brought up in the general no matter what, but if these types of messages are amplified in a primary where it's a different voter base, obviously Democrats aren't voting in large numbers in a Republican primary, but if this thought has already been brought to the public masses and they still elected Kinder in the primary, is it going to be effective in the general? I mean, neither candidate has millions of dollars at their disposal right now.
It's been pretty under the radar with the exception of these ads.
Well, that ad might create some buzz, and especially when it goes on TV.
Because the Huffington Post Huffington Post has put it up on its site.
You got to just think, Kinder has never lost an election. He's probably well-known by now. He's, I think, campaigning pretty hard. I think he's going to probably have some sort of counterattack ready because he had some counterattack against Lager. I think it'll be close. I think this race is going
to
be close because Kinder has never won a statewide race by, I think, more than 2.5, 2.7%. But I think all this stuff that's in the ad has already been thrown at him. It's really going to be a question of how he responds and counterattacks at this point.
See, and the race will be on the ballot for lieutenant governor right underneath the governor's race between Jay Nixon and Dave Spence. And, of course, they've been fighting with their ads. And Spence has actually sued Nixon since we were last on the air here.
He's not a banker.
Yeah, he's not. Yes. Now, he says it's because of Nixon's ad that implies that he was a banker while he was on this bank board that helped govern it. He contended that his character was defamed.
Mm-hmm. We talked about this a little bit last week.
Right. And Spence, since then, has put up his new ads that are just focusing on his factories and stuff. But my point is that if Nixon, who has been hammering at Spence, if Nixon wins by a big margin, and I'm not saying he will, because I think anything could happen. Dave Spence could win anything. But if Nixon were to win by a big margin, potentially that could have some effect below him. And I think because the Monty Kinder race is right under that, potentially could be one that is most affected. But there are others.
There are others. I think it's hard, as I said before, it's hard to summarize like the treasurer's race in like a 2-minute span.
Right.
But I think it's an interesting race because, you know, that race was probably under the radar in 2008.
And Clint Zweifel, though, now has his ad up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I saw.
Democrat.
He's walking down the street and
I didn't know Jefferson City was full of falling safes and grifters.
Yeah.
But the thing that I noticed was the video on YouTube was completely positive, and the one on TV actually kind of zings McNary, Cole McNary's Republican opponent, on a couple things. And I think, you know, I can't read into Zweifel's campaign mind, but you know, the McNary name is well known in St. Louis and St. Louis County because Cole McNary is Gene McNary's son, and he's run statewide a few times.
And Gene McNary was a former county exec for a long, long time.
So even though Zweifel has a huge financial advantage, and it's probably greater than even Martin, Koster, or Kander, Scholar, I mean, you got to think that, you know, that race, since it's not getting a whole lot of attention. There was a poll on Dave Drebus' MoScout a few weeks ago that showed it pretty close. I don't know if that's still going to happen after all the ads go, but that could be kind of an interesting
AG
race.
Let's get to the
AG's. AG's
race.
One is where all the fire is, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've always said that it's hard to compare this to 2008 because that was kind of a circus-like race in many respects. Mm-hmm. But it's been kind of a fascinating thing to watch.
Democratic incumbent Chris Koster, who used to be Republican but who is expected to run for governor if he wins a re-election, expects to run for governor in 2016.
And both of them have ads up, and I think that many of Koster's ads were similar to what he did in 2008, where he's emphasizing his experience as a prosecutor and saying Martin doesn't have it.
Now, we're talking about Republican Ed Martin, who's a St. Louis lawyer.
And Ed Martin channeling, what was it, Paul Wellstone?
I thought we were going to say channeling Speedy Gonzalez.
Yeah. And Ed Martin is my neighbor in St. Louis Hills, so I haven't seen him run that fast, but I'm sure he does.
It's in video. You have to believe it.
And he's running that, but I think that in recent days, Koster has shifted away from Martin's not a prosecutor message and has thrown a lot of the messages that Russ Carnahan threw at Martin when he ran in 2010 about his tenure as Matt Blunt's chief of staff. And we could probably go into detail on that, but, you know—
There was some controversies while Ed Martin was the chief of staff for then Governor Matt Blunt.
So you have that race, and that race I think is just fascinating from a contrast point of view, but also the office is. I think a lot of times the attorney general's office is just thought of as a political jumping board, and it is. But it actually is a really important office for the state.
Well, and Jay Nixon held it for 16 years.
Yeah. And for, you know, attorneys who are just getting out of law school, they look to the attorney general's office as a place where they kind of get their feet wet. And, you know, it is an office that handles a lot of functions. And I think they have different ideas on kind of how they would want to focus their attention. I think Martin wants to probably be kind of a buffer against some national issues like healthcare. I know he's holding a press conference today about the Illinois pensions and whether that, you know, violates the 10th Amendment or something like that.
We're not going to bail him out.
Koster has focused a lot on some of the, you know, major cases that have come up, you know, with U.S. Fidelis and DocX and the foreclosure settlement. Some of his decision making hasn't always been universally popular.
But it was kind of strange, though. I'm stunned why Martin is bringing up Illinois.
Well, here, that's actually a good thing you asked, because when I was interviewing all of the statewides, at least three out of the four of them mentioned Illinois. And I've noticed this throughout Missouri politics of my time there, and maybe because I'm from there. But Missouri politicians, especially on the Republican side, love to point to Illinois as some sort of bastion of disaster and say, well, you know, look at Missouri. We're not as bad as Illinois. They have all these problems. And I know I sound defensive on that because I'm from there, and it's people it's easy to make fun of. And many of the problems are incredibly bad there with their state government.
Kander Scholer, let's
shoehorn that,
them
I have noticed that. Out of all these statewide races, I think Kander Scholer is probably the most
important. Let's explain who they are, what they're running for.
Jason Kander is a state representative from Kansas City.
Democrat.
And then Shane Schiller is a Republican from Springfield.
Also in the state legislature. And
they're both state house people.
And they're running for?
Secretary of State. And it's an important race because there's no incumbent.
Robin Carnahan is can't run again.
Well, she can, but she's retiring.
Okay.
She could, but she's not.
If she would have run again, I think she would have been challenged, but it would have been a completely different race. But that aside, this is an office that handles business regulations and elections, which is the more high-profile aspect of it. I think there's a very different vision of what Kander wants to do on that front than Scholler.
And Kander's been promoting the fact – he's got an ad up, and he's promoting the fact that he is a veteran, military veteran, and that he used to be in Afghanistan. And so in his intro ad, it's basically highlighting his military service. But from Little Bird tells me that his next ad will likely be going after Scholler over a bill he introduced.
Yeah,
Jason, you want to talk about
dealing with absentee balloting, it would have substantially changed the way absentee balloting is handled. It would have effectively done away with absentee by mail, and you would have had to designate a surrogate who could then deliver it for you, basically.
And this is over 300,000 Missourians who generally vote by mail. And this has been...
And this bill didn't pass, by the way.
And every state has some form of absentee balloting by mail.
But, yeah, that's going to be an issue. But I think what Scholler is kind of going to do is emphasize this voter ID issue, which has kind of taken on this national, you know, scope as far as discussion. And I think he's going to be emphasizing that as kind of a way to drive Republican turnout.
But so far, I don't think he's started an ad here yet.
I don't think he has been on the air, and I don't actually think he has advertised as much in St. Louis compared to Roop during the primary advertised a lot
Scott
in
Roop,
St.
Yeah.
Louis. And I think Stouffer might have a little, but he's really trying to get out his base in Southwest Missouri, where he's from, and the other rural areas of the state, where I think Kander is focusing on the urban areas, Kansas City, but he's been in St. Louis a lot. So yes, I could see that race being very close because down-ballot statewide races, which are vacant offices, are typically pretty close. So,
and because there's no longer straight ticket voting, as I mentioned, the number of votes drops. In other words, people, like, either they don't know the
person.
They say,
hey, I know who I want to vote for in the president, and I know who I want to vote for
and
Senate,
I don't know who any of these other guys are.
I
don't want to spend time, and they just leave.
Right.
I mean, and you're seeing that. Increasingly, it's like a V.
Right.
So the people who stay all the way to the
end.
Not
V for vendetta. V for voting?
V for voting. Well, I think that just about does it for the Politically Speaking podcast
today. We got
today.
A lot in.
We did.
We got like we six did. Races in.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll probably get 12.
We were so speedy. It's just like
talented.
That. It's
just
like
that.
Ed,
zany.
It's just like that Ed Martin ad where he's running around. We got to a lot of different issues in that
zip,
amount
zip,
of time.
Zip,
zip, zip. So the debate is tonight. You will see stories about it on St. Louis Public Radio and STLBeacon.org.
The St. Louis Beacon. Yep, I'll be there, and we will have something up.
And I will not be able to tweet because I'm on a panel, and Joe is too busy taking notes
covering,
for it.
I may be doing a little bit, but we're relying on Jason.
Yeah.
Carry all of our weight, Jason.
You know, I haven't done some live tweeting in a while, so I might be a little rusty, but I think I can handle it
from the comfort
of my red couch.
And you can follow him at
J. Rosenbaum.
And I am at C.S. McDaniel.
And I'm at J. Manis.
Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Peace out.
So long.